What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
It's our first live stream of the year, our second podcast of the year, and there's no third yet, but I'll probably think of something halfway through for I Should Be Writing Season 19, Episode 2.
I should be riding. I should be working on my craft. I should be riding. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.
Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast and live stream for wannabe fiction writers, and I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. This is for amateur fiction writers. It's for, what is it, pre-published, I believe I've heard used. So yeah, I've been doing this for 18 years. I'm on my 19th year now. I'm just published my 7th book. Is that right? I'm losing count. I'm not even in double digits and I'm losing count. But yeah, I've been talking about this for a while now, and I'm continuing to go, whether I stumble over myself horribly or not. To talk about how I've been keeping myself accountable, what I've been working on is a variety of fun things. I haven't done a whole lot since the turn of the year, and right when I got into my headache's better, things are calmed down at home now with the kid back in school. Right when I get into that is when I get the edits back for the draft of my novel. So whatever exciting things I thought I was going to work on, I got to put that aside again and look at the manuscript. But let's talk about good news. My good news is just that my headache is gone and I'm happy. That's a very good piece of news for me. People in chat are still going over what to say instead of wannabe. We got aspiring, burgeoning, and edging. Not sure about that one. Hang on. Okay, so we were at... Let me just see if this is working. Wow. That is so broken, it's not even appearing in chat. Wow. Okay, my rejection counter is not working right now. I don't know why. But anyway, here's where we talk about good news, and I like to discuss sales and rejections, because working writers get rejected and you need to be cheered for being a working writer. So I'm trying to figure out why this isn't working. Nope. Well, that brings it up and it doesn't add to it. Great. That's just fantastic. Okay. Well, I don't know what team rejection is. The counter's still broken. I don't know why. But so far we are at 16 for 2023. We covered some in the last live stream. So I've just got to keep track of that number until we can fix this bot thing. But if you guys have any good news to share, please tell me. My good news is headache's gone, and I got my novel back. I haven't looked at the comments yet, but the letter along with the comments was very positive. And I don't know if she was doing the compliment me so that the bad comments will hurt less thing, but it did sound positive, so we'll see. The Ink Den says, hi, good to see you. I'd love to stay, but I need to write and submit stuff so I can accomplish my New Year's resolution. Get my first rejection. We will be here with the yay button to cheer for you when you actually take that big, big step. That's huge. And a lot of us have already experienced that and can tell you that you'll get through it. You'll be fine. And if you're not fine, we're here for you. Because a lot of us have already felt that. So, good luck with the writing, good luck with the submitting. And hey, if you get your first sale too, we'll cheer for that too. Alright, Underpope, I don't know what you're talking about. Sky Over Sacramento has a lot of blue in it, I don't know what to do with that. I'll gain so much, I'll need a bigger nail. Oh boy. Anyway, it's no longer raining, I see. Gotcha. I'm slow today. So if you guys have any good news, put it in the chat, or you can email it to me. I believe I did get an email with some good news recently. I don't get a lot of emails with good news, so if you're listening to this later, I would love to hear from you if you have good news. That is loud. Let me find it. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm getting email about Boscone. I can talk about Boscone. I'm going to Boscone in a month. I thought I would be able to go to the Nebulas this year, but it's looking unlikely, which is sad. I really have to clean out my email. Where is it? Crap. I am just not flowing well today, guys. I really am not. Which is weird because I have nothing to blame it on. I feel like I'm flailing here. Someone sent me good news, I swear. Alright, I can't find it. I will get through this mess of email and I will find it and I will read it on the next podcast, I promise. But, Our uncanny acceptance is good news? Come on, the kids are asleep. You know the answer to that. That's amazing. Congratulations. Jasmine finished a work project and the boss liked it. That's great. HS Valley and CNZ, it's less than a month till my book comes out in the States. There's a yay for both of those. Shauna has to work on work, just had your work review and it went very well. That's awesome. Hello, Todd. Christian writing, my good news is I'm getting enough freelance work to pay the bills right now. Let's hit the A button again. And HS Valiancy started a new book. That's fantastic. Hey, Summer, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in. My dog is recovering from minor surgery, is always trying to do what she normally does, feeling better only 2 days later. That's great. Babylon 5 will be leaving HBO Max next week. That's sad. I don't think I knew it was on there. But I've got the DVDs, so I can watch those. I'm surprised you don't. Surely you have the DVD, Summer. Anyway, so if you have acceptances or rejections or any good news you want to share, feel free to let me know in the next live stream or email me at mightymer@gmail.com. So, I want to talk about first sentences, but I'm not going to pass judgment on these, especially since I know a lot of the writers. But I'm just going to start reading some, and I'm going to talk about what makes them work. First, we have the very, very honored fifth season, won the Hugo. It's having, I believe the TV show is still in production. The RPG is coming out soon. Possibly the biggest trilogy in science fiction the past 15 years or so. Or more. The beginning of the prologue, book one, let's start with the end of the world, why don't we? Get it over with and move on to more interesting things. Now that's what makes a good starting sentence is with one or two sentences, it opens up more than one question. Like, who's speaking? Why? I thought the end of the world was the end of everything, and you're implying that things keep going after the end of the world, and what end of the world? Yeah, I believe it's still in pre-order, Litrapod, but there is an RPG. That was the fifth season, and now I've got The Stand by Stephen King, which I remember not having a huge hook, but Stephen King certainly gives himself room to stretch and wiggle around and relax into his stories. I have The Stand is here. Yeah, this one is Hapscom's Texaco, sat on number 93 just north of Arnett, a pissant 4th Street burg about 110 miles from Houston. Tonight the regulars were there, sitting by the cash register, drinking beer, talking idly, watching the bugs fly into the blue lighted, big lighted sign. That doesn't raise a lot of questions. Except for why should I care? But it's The Stand. And I know people are still telling Stephen King it's their favorite book, even though it was written 40 years ago. Numbers Ninja's here. Hey there. Yes, somebody did bring up, I believe it was Kids Are Asleep. Stephen King does have one of the best first lines. I'm just not a Dark Tower fan, so I don't have that book. Or if I do, it's somewhere. I'm not sure where. But the first sentence of the Dark Tower is legendary. The man in black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed. No, it wasn't the Dark Tower, it's the gunslinger. Because it mentions the gunslinger. Excellent first line. Hey, Joey, good to see you. What does she think? She thinks everyone's a threat and she'll kick their ass as soon as we can just let her outside. We are talking about first sentences and what makes them have good hooks. I just read the first sentence for The Stand, which is not that enthralling, but there's something magical about the way King writes that where if you can get past the first couple, you'll definitely want to keep going. Now we have This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El-Motar and Max Gladstone. Won all the awards it could win, I believe, the year after it was published. When Red wins, she stands alone. That's intriguing. We don't know who Red is, what she's won, or whether she's supposed to have other people with her, and this is an anomaly. This is one that I got for Christmas. I have not read it yet. Murder of Crows. It's supposed to be another cozy mystery. This one is not relying on a huge hook. Sophie's hand trembled as she slid the key into the lock. Okay. She hated the dark, but she forced herself and the key to overcome the lock's resistance, gritting her teeth as ornate ironwork gouged her thumb and fingers. So the question there is the ornate ironwork key. That's the intriguing part. Because that's a detail that we don't normally see. I hope I brought the right Cameron Hurley book. Hell. There it is. I got The Mirror Empire by friend. Oh yeah, this is the one I had in mind. This is one of the best first lines ever because so many questions. When Lilia was 4 years old, her mother filled a shallow dish with Lilia's blood and fed it to the boars that patrolled the thorn fence. So many questions. So many! Just from that one sentence. And I'm not trying to say that you have to have something as brilliantly crafted as this. And I know that a lot of writers, emerging and otherwise, fret a little bit too much over the first line or the first page or the first chapter. But making your first couple of sentences or your first paragraph raise questions that your reader will want you to answer. That is what keeps them reading, and that is what makes for a good hook. One of the worst experiences I've ever had at a convention was when I was reading from... You know, I don't toot my horn very much. I'm not very good at it, but I will have to say this. I was reading from an unpublished book. A book that went on to get a Hugo, a Nebula, and a Philip K. Dick Award nomination. And there was a guy in the room who took every little plot hint that I put out there that should make people go, huh, that's strange. I want to read on and see what that means. He just went ahead and assumed I didn't know what the hell I was talking about and questioned it. And I know I've talked about this experience before, but it still sucks. That was a bad day. I mean, very careful plot point, little clues that I very carefully peppered into the first chapter. Just didn't buy any of it. And a lot of other people liked the book. Lots of starred reviews, too. Yeah. Anyway. Now we have The Annual Migration of Clouds by our very own Premi Mohammed. Premi, this was nominated for at least one thing, right? I have not kept up with all of your nominations in the past couple of years because there have been so many. But this novella starts out, you don't name it, you don't give it a name either. They must have names they use for each other. I don't know what mine calls itself, and if it told me, I would try to forget. I swear I would. It would not be like the secret names of dogs, which as a child I desperately wished to learn. Definitely lots of questions here. It was nominated for 3 things and won the Aurora Award. Well deserved. Yes, CPO Parker, the William Gibson's Neuromancer does have a good opening. But I don't know if it's an opening that ages well. Because it's isn't it the sky was the color of a TV tuned to a dead channel? Which, darn kids these days may not know what that looks like. But yeah, that was a definite... Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that's the first line of that book. Going on to a classic here. Now, this is Kurt Vonnegut, Cat's Cradle. Now, I'd read a lot of lesser championed Vonnegut books, and I don't know why. Like, when I was in college, I read Slapstick and Bluebeard and Galapagos, and I think I did read Cat's Cradle. I'd never read Slaughterhouse-Five until my kid was in high school and they were reading it, and I'm like, I've never read that one. I should probably read that one too. But this one also is one of those vague sentences that really make you want to chase it down. Call me Jonah. My parents did, or nearly did. They called me John. It's so simple, but there are still questions. I mean, just like Moby Dick, call me Ishmael. It's not my name is Ishmael. It's, I want you to call me this name from the Bible. And in that, just those three words, it's like, why? And that intrigues you to keep reading. Intrigues me to keep reading. I don't know about you. So that was Kurt Vonnegut, Cat's Cradle. What else do we have? Let's take a translated book. We have An Elderly Lady is Up to No Good. I know you'll all be shocked that once I found out that this Swedish book was about a murder granny, I nearly hurt myself trying to buy it. The shrill sound of the doorbell sliced through the silence. Maud sat motionless in her armchair, making no attempt to get up. She knew the bell would soon ring again and again and again. This had been going on for weeks. Not terribly hooky, but the repetitive ringing is the intriguing thing, and why Maud isn't getting up. There's always the question of who's at the door, who's on the other end of the call, whose voice is outside. That's good. And let's talk about some of the funniest or more intriguing words in the English language. I mainly want to do again and anymore. Again can take a ridiculous statement and make it hysterical. There's a song by... Oh, great. King Missile? Did King Missile do Detachable Penis? Or was that the Dead Milkman? I think it's King Missile. I'm very old. Crud. I can't remember. Anyway, the song is Detachable Penis, and the first line of the song is, I woke up and my penis was missing again. And it's already a ridiculous statement. And the again just makes it funnier. Anymore is also something you can tag on to that. You know, I don't kiss my dog with tongue anymore. Thank you, Primalina. It was King Missile. Yes! My weird, obscure 90s memories are still solid. Oh, Preemie's got a horn tootin'. For my first line, I also liked another novella opening with the dead girl woke and asked for her perfume and we gave it to her and she slept again. That's awesome, Preemie. Which one is that? And the kids are asleep. Valerie Valdez says, first sentences are like computer adaptive tests. They help the reader quickly sort the book into broad expectation levels that are then hard to alter. Yeah, you can make it really intriguing and then... If you don't pay off what you're promising, you can upset people. I mean, what Cameron's story tells us is that it's fantasy, it's got magic, it's going to be heavy, probably heavy with matrilineal, either ruling or family-led or matrilineal magic, and it's going to be bloody. And that describes almost all Cameron Hurley's books, so that's a win. Let's see, Preemie says, that was from WFA and the Nebula Award winning, and what can we offer you tonight? Excellent. There's a short comic in that XXX rated Antho from the Foglios from back in the 90s. Yes, that's Xenophile with three X's. It is porn. Androids working in space with detachable parts. It is sci-fi porn. So let's go for mystery. Agatha Christie. We got 13 at dinner. I found this for $3 in New Orleans, so I figured I'd buy it. The memory of the public is short. Already the intense interest and excitement aroused by the murder of George Alfred St. Vincent March Marsh, excuse me. Fourth Baron Edgeware is a thing past and forgotten. Newer sensations have taken its place. That definitely makes you ask some questions right there. And it definitely brings up the fact of it's probably going to be a murder book, even if you hadn't read who wrote it. And there's something about higher society in there. Because it's the richness of society gossip is referenced. We have discussion of Xenophile in the chat here. It's really funny. I ran across an old Xenophile that I had like last week. That's weird that it comes up twice in that. And I have to toot my own horn. I don't know if this works or not. I'm too close to it. But nobody ever believed murders just happened around Mallory. Not at first, anyway. So hopefully that also tells you it's a murder book and it's going to be a little wacky. Maybe wacky, I'm not sure. Yeah, Lee, they changed the name. I didn't realize it was that one when I picked it up, and I thought, wow, does she have two books where Lord Edgeware dies? No, this is just Lord Edgeware Dies. It's just called 13 at Dinner. Let's go to romance. We have Not Your Average Hot Guy by Gwenda Bond, good friend of mine. This is a paranormal romance. My mother puts her hands on her hips and inspects the waiting area with a slight frown. She's wearing a t-shirt with her favorite Time Lord on the front. Now that is kind of subtle, but it tells you a lot about the mom right there. And you will be unsurprised as you read on to find out that what she's surveying is the waiting room of an escape room. Just putting the mom in that kind of clothing tells us a lot. I need to know which Time Lord is her fave. I don't remember if that's brought up or not. It just says her favorite. I'll have to ask Gwenda if she remembers. I'm almost done going through these. I want to do Gideon the Ninth, one of the best first sentences. In the myriadic year of our Lord, the 10,000th year of the King Undying, the kindly Prince of Death, Gideon Nav, packed her sword, her shoes, and her dirty magazines, and escaped from the House of the Ninth. One sentence we've already got. Weird. I don't even know if people have successfully put this book into a genre. Because it's got spaceships and magic. But, you know, Gideon lives in some sort of, that's a fantasy type description. But she packs her sword, her shoes, and her dirty magazines and escapes. So she's a prisoner. She's a prisoner with a sword. And she's the kind of person that makes sure she packs she owns dirty magazines and makes sure she packs them when she leaves. So, it tells you that this book is going to be fantasy. The sword implies the violence. The dirty magazines gives you a sense of who Gideon is. And you're probably going to like it because it's lesbian necromancers in space. Oh, cool, Underpope. I read that book and loved it. Still have the sequel in my queue. I believe that's The Date from Hell is the sequel. Do I have that? Too many books. Oh, God. Okay. I just want to do a couple more. We have Or What You Will by Joe Walton, one of our most celebrated literary fantasy writers. Won the Hugo for Among Us in 2013, I think. I remember so clearly because that was the year I lost my first award. The first couple of lines is, "She won't let me tell all the stories. She says it'll make them all sound the same." She's had too much of my tricks and artfulness, she says. This is on the vague side, but still intriguing. Who is she? What stories does the narrator want to tell? Why aren't they allowed to tell them? It's even vague things like this can hit well. We're going to do P.G. Woodhouse, Very Good Jeeves, because I'm trying to hit all the genres just to show you how the first sentences can go. It was the morning of the day on which I was slated to pop down to my Aunt Agatha's place at Woolham Chersey in the country of Herts for a visit of 3 solid weeks, and as I seated myself at the breakfast table, I don't mind confessing that the heart was singularly heavy. We Worcesters are men of iron, but beneath my intrepid exterior at the moment there lurked a nameless dread. That already tells you a lot of what you need to know about Bertie. Upper class, he probably says tickety-boo. And the kind of person that has had such a privileged life that little things, like facing an aunt who perhaps pinches his cheek too hard, is a true trial. Okay, one more. Well, here's one by Becky Chambers, a psalm for the wild built, and we're gonna need a bleep here. I'll say it on the stream. Sometimes a person reaches a point in their life when it just becomes absolutely essential to get the f*** out of the city. So that's very indicative of Becky Chambers' voice. It's gonna be slightly amusing and to the point. Becky Chambers does not write fat books. I love her voice. I'm not saying it's bad that she doesn't write fat books. I'm not very good at writing fat books either. But, you know, she says what she needs to say and gets the point across. So, when you're looking at your own stuff, and this is something best done in edits, but you want to take a step back and ask what you're conveying with this story. And look at your first paragraph or page and see if what you think you're conveying in the story is what the first bit of the book promises. It doesn't take much to settle your idea into a person's mind. And I can promise you this, if a person doesn't have a good sense of what media they're consuming, they're not going to enjoy it. Because I realized this the very first time when I saw, I can't remember what it was now. Damn it. Anyway, I saw a movie, this was back in the 90s, I saw a movie trailer and it said, this was like the, you know, in the trailer it said, in the spirit of The Usual Suspects or something. And then I kept waiting for The Usual Suspects comparisons to happen. And they didn't. And I don't even remember what the movie was about because I was so annoyed because it wasn't going in the direction I wanted it to. We were looking for a new cozy mystery to watch the other night. And we started watching, great, I can't remember I'm bad with titles. I'll just say it. It's the one about the woman in Australia writing the advice column and putting recipes in it. But it looks like it would be a cozy, but it heavily talks about a woman writing in who's being abused and mentally and emotionally by her husband. And we see some of those scenes and, you know, when the ducks are killed, we're yelling at the television, this is not cozy. And I think it took us a while to warm to this story because we were expecting something else. And it was not cozy. Not at all. And you know, you could obsess about this. It's not a good idea to do so. I got King of the Dogs, Queen of the Cats by James Patrick Kelly, my mentor. Geo decided to spend the rest of his morning looking for the mystery circus. Then the paint bomb went off. That tells you... That also starts you off with a bang, doesn't it? You have no idea what's going on or what the first part of the morning offered. It's those little time stamps. It already implies something was going on that morning. But he's moving past that and looking for the mystery circus, whatever that means. And then there's a paint bomb. It's, like, a lot of these first sentences are masterful and I've wanted to study them for a while, which is why I'm doing it on this podcast. Because this is better than just talking it out loud for myself alone in a room. But I do have also American Gods here, Neil Gaiman. You wouldn't believe how many copies I have of this book. I have signed. I have the author's preferred text. I have the first edition that we bought during his press tour and got it signed. Yeah. This is also an F-bomb. I'm saying this out loud because Summer will need to bleep it. Shadow had done 3 years in prison. He was big enough and looked don't f*** with me enough that his biggest problem was killing time. So he kept himself in shape, taught himself coin tricks, and thought a lot about how much he loved his wife. Now, Shadow... This tells you a lot about Shadow, especially the fact that he's buff, he likes coin tricks, which is a major plot point throughout the book, and... The feelings he has for his wife is also a plot point that drives the book. I don't know who here would not have read it, but I won't spoil it just in case. But yeah, Shadow's size, coin tricks, and his wife are major MacGuffin's the wrong word. Things that drive the plot. Only one copy of American Gods under Pope. What's wrong with you? I've given away my multiple copies of Good Omens. Well, Underpope, you're doing better than I am, because I never got Pratchett to sign anything, and he's dead and Gaiman's not. But yeah, I loaned my first edition Good Omens away and regret that ever since. I'm going to do Fault Tolerance. By Valerie Valdez. The kids are asleep in chat. Excellent chapter title as well. Also, another bleep coming up. The chapter is No Shit, There I Was, and the first sentence is Captain Eva Innocent stifled a yawn as the doors at the far end of the green room slid open, allowing the screaming, whistling, and feet pounding of thousands of audience members to wash over her like a coronal mass ejection. That sets the stage and sets the mood. Real fast. Tells you something about the captain. Makes you wonder where she's going, where the cheers are happening. So, you know, you could see what effort people have put into their first, yes, literal stage. what effort people have put into their stories to hook the reader. I have heard, because I can't tell you guys any one thing, I have to contradict myself. I have heard that a lot of books that come into agents and editors from unpublished writers have excellent first chapters, and the rest of the book is weak, because they've spent so much time fixing the first chapter and not the rest of the book. So they're polishing, you know, the nose of the ship and it appears all gleaming and shiny. And then as the ship comes into port, it's like nasty and barnacled and leaky and stuff, so. Thank you for the subscription, Catwood! But anyway, if you guys have any questions about first sentences or first paragraphs, let me know. I'm going to go over a couple of the other rules about starting stories. There's a lot of people, myself included, I'm not putting down beginning writers here because I still have this problem. A lot of people need some time to warm up to their story, and where they initially think the story begins is not where the story begins. And one, there's a commentary, or critique, rather, a method of critiquing that, throat clearing, I've heard it called. Interesting. But it's, some people during critiques will draw a line on the paper and say, this is where your story starts because you've done all the warm-up and you've finally gotten into it and said something interesting. Alternately, some editors will draw a line and say, this is where I got bored and you lost me, but we're not talking about that right now. This is probably not something you need to worry about when you're writing, when you're working on the first draft, especially pantsers. Because you got a lot of throat clearing to do, a whole lot. But it's something you can tweak and perfect on the edit. Which I'm still not entirely happy with my first paragraph of my new book. But I get another chance at it, so I'll be focusing on that tomorrow. But yeah, I will end the official podcast here if nobody has any questions, and we'll hang out and do a little bit of BarCon. If you want to hang out with the BarCon, you can see me at twitch.tv/mightymur at 3 o'clock Tuesday, Thursdays, Eastern Time. 3 o'clock Eastern Time, Tuesday, Thursday. I'm usually better than this. I'm usually less awkward. Anyway. But yeah, you can find me at murverse.com, mightymur@gmail.com. I'm not going to give my socials out because I need to find a place where I'm going to feel confident being there regularly. I always feel guilty when I get a message like, someone has followed you on Elo. I'm not on Elo anymore. Someone's followed me on Medium. I never got active on Medium, and I just feel like I'm disappointing people when I'm not actually involved there, except I just have a persona. But it is kind of hard to market yourself without social media, so I'm trying to get back into it. But yeah, I mean, find me at murverse.com. That's where all the links will be. And yeah, you can support the podcast with the Patreon, patreon.com/mightymur. And I will be attending BossCon in a month, Boston Science Fiction Convention. If you're around, you want to drop by. I'm doing a reading, doing a signing, doing some panels. Do I have a coffee clutch? I can't remember. But I know I have a reading and a signing. But that'll be February 17th. I'm going to be creating content more regularly this year. I'm determined. I'm not chickening out. And neither should you, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor.
watching Doctor Who.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.